Get ready to whiten those knuckles and hold fast as we talk the most dangerous, daring, and epic sea stories ever told.
Whether facing ruthless men who prey on other mariners or storms that turn calm seas into graveyards, those who go down to the sea and cast off lines enter the most challenging and dangerous environment on Earth.
Only here will you hear their stories and the lessons gained through their experience. I'm your host, Phil.
And I'm Bill.
And we welcome you aboard the Had to Go Out podcast. Before we dive into this episode, we need to provide a disclaimer. The views expressed on this podcast are those of the individuals involved and are not to be construed as official or reflecting the views of any government agency or military service. This podcast is an independent effort with no government association.
When the most is expected, the brave men and women of the U.S. Coast Guard are always ready. The National Coast Guard Museum will engage, educate, and inspire visitors by honoring the courage and skill of our nation's unsung armed service. The museum will explore the Coast Guard's rich history and current impact through interactive exhibits, STEM-based learning experiences, and leadership development programming. Find out how you can join the effort. Become a plank owner today. Visit CoastGuardMuseum.org/out. That's CoastGuardMuseum.org/OUT.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Had to Go Out podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for tuning in on all the different podcast platforms and for following us on social media, sharing, liking, subscribing, giving those 10-star reviews. Please keep it up and continue to get the word out for us and the National Coast Guard Museum. Today, we've got another crossover episode for you. This might be the first one we publish. We're doing two of them, one with the Evolution podcast and the other with the Don't Give Up the Ship podcast. So who I got on the line today is the host of the D-Guts podcast, an active duty senior chief in the U.S. Navy, 18 years of active service, all on submarines. He's been a division and departmental leading chief petty officer, command career counselor, Naval Military Training Coordinator, a Master Training Specialist, a Senior Enlisted Advisor, and is currently serving as a Rating Specialist and Inspector. His podcast, the Don't Give Up a Ship podcast, is directed specifically at the professional and leadership development of junior enlisted sailors and military members, and we're glad to have him here today. Senior Chief, how are you?
Awesome, man.
Good.
Awesome. I'm excited to talk to you guys. This is only my second time ever doing not my own podcast. I got it was actually supposed to be you guys first, but then Chief Bayless got to me ahead of you guys.
Yeah, on the Evolution, huh?
Yeah. I got to it's coming out soon. I don't think it's up yet, but I got to talk to him, and it's fun, man. It's fun when I don't have the stress of being the one running the show.
Yeah, he's a mover and a shaker, man. That guy's quick.
Yeah, he is. Great dude.
So tell us about your podcast. Tell all the listeners here who haven't heard of the D-Guts podcast, if they transition over there after they listen to ours and rate it with 5 stars, what are they going to hear on yours?
Yeah, man. So, it's targeted initially when I first started it was targeted at junior enlisted personnel, just leadership development and education. So I kind of, when I was an A school instructor, and then that's where I was a senior enlisted leader. When I was there, I had a lot of junior sailors fresh out of the pipeline reaching back with all these issues with leadership, be it they were thrust into like early leadership positions and didn't know what to do with their hands, or they were interacting with leadership at various levels and having what they perceived to be, whether real or not, toxic like leadership interactions with those leaders. And didn't know what to do about it or how to handle it. And I found myself like answering the same questions over and over again, via like Facebook Messenger or whatever. And so I was sitting there trying to think of like how I could solve this problem on a larger scale. Cause I thought to myself, like if my rating, which is small in the grand scheme of things, if I have this many junior sailors having these problems, like it's safe to assume that, force wide, like fleet wide, junior sailors are having these issues. And so I had just gotten into listening to podcasts and decided that I wanted to reach the sailors where they are, which was that thing welded to their hand all the time. So I was trying to figure out how to do that, and podcasts seemed like the best idea, because I got to a place where I was trying to figure out how to package it to where junior sailors would trust me. And it was something you and I talked about on the episode we did on my platform, where getting there's a kind of a bit of a trust divide between chiefs and junior sailors in the Navy. And so I was trying to figure out how to package it in a way that the sailors I was trying to reach would trust the platform. And to do that, I don't have my face or name on it. And so how do I do that? I can't do YouTube.
Right.
So
yeah,
I settled on
pretty quick.
Settled on a podcast. And I recorded the introduction episode, sent it to a bunch of friends of varying ranks and experiences, and just asked them if I was nuts or not. And everybody said it was awesome and that I should get it done. So for about the last 4.5 years, it started mainly with just like leadership development and education topics. I was just trying to create a resource for junior sailors to go to and be able to like listen to an episode on motivation or teamwork or communication or whatever, just kind of general leadership development topics. And then also there's some like program specific stuff on the Navy side of it, just to kind of prepare them and educate them to like interact with a program during their career.
What was the first one? What was the first issue? What was the big one that you had to tackle first? Like, what was the watershed moment? You know, it was the first episode.
I think it was there's an episode, I think it's number 2, called The Suck.
The Suck. And, yeah, I think that's the first one I listened to just because I like the name.
Yeah. And that was based on, the whole thing sprang from, I got frustrated because, some of the perceptions junior sailors had were, of leadership were like that everybody's a toxic leader. Like all these leaders are just bad humans. And, I got frustrated with the types of perceptions and the attitude of almost like throwing their hands up and quitting. And so I have this really long Facebook post, on my feed that pops up every year as like a memory or something that I shared right before I started the podcast. And it was basically the outline for that episode, where it was like it was just kind of exploring the idea of like, look, we're all doing a really hard thing, and we're all doing a really hard thing together as a group of human beings that are all flawed and all at varying levels of preparation and experience. So when the leader that a junior sailor is interacting with is perceived to be toxic, the vast majority of the time, it's just another human being that is not experienced and not prepared to be in that leadership position. So they're learning, developing on the job, and they're going to make mistakes in doing that. So instead of tearing them down and complaining and making their life more difficult, which is generally the reaction that you get from a lot of junior sailors who are immature, developing humans themselves, it's like rally around them, like do what you can to make their job easier, help them out, give them another set of hands that they can trust, so that it's one less thing they got to worry about, because you're in that position and you're kind of feeling like, everybody's against you and everywhere you go is conflict instead of a team working together to make the thing happen. And I think it's a lot of that is just maturity based and a lack of development and education, which we tried to address with the podcast. That was the big thing too, was it was just like, there's this complete void, between the normal initial session of boot camp and A school. And you go all the way through until the Navy Senior Enlisted Academy, which is, I mean, you're lucky to get in as a chief nowadays. It's usually as a senior chief. So there's no formal leadership development and education, or at least there wasn't at the time. There's some stuff that's being stood up now, but, at the time there was absolutely nothing providing that leadership development and education. There's some command delivered course stuff that was it was like an administrative check in the box. It was almost never being done robustly.
So even at A school, you guys didn't have like an indoc to leading yourself?
I mean, we did a little bit, but it was so rushed. And I'm sure some other A schools out there were doing it a little better. And we definitely put our back into it to the maximum extent possible with the training days that we had. But we had 25 training days in the course that I ran, and that was way, way, way too short already. So we put as much into it as we could in the time that we had, but it was pretty limited. It was a a very basic level thing, and we weren't able to, just based on the instructional hours and the actual ratings specialty, it's like you just didn't have that much time.
Yeah. And then what about, so nothing, so like in the Coast Guard, we have, there's leadership and management school, which is the E5 level, checking the box to make E6. It's like a couple day long middle manager, team leader kind of thing. You guys have none of that, huh?
No, nothing, no. Man. So we had, when I came up, they had a structure called NAV Lead, and it was a formal brick and mortar schoolhouse with some of that kind of stuff in it. And I got to attend one of the courses as a pre-junior E5, and it was something, and I got something out of it. But it was a budget cut thing. They got rid of it. And, ever since then, I probably went through that course in like 2007, and ever since then, there's been nothing. And except what they like to point at is they had what's called petty officer indoc at the various pay grades. And it was kind of like a formal requirement administratively for you to go through this command delivered course, meaning whatever operational unit you're attached to, when you get selected for the next pay grade, you're going to go through that training there. No one has time for that. Like, and it's not for lack of wanting to do it. A lot of the times there's a lot of chiefs that really wanted to put effort into it. I was one of them on the operational submarines I was on. I was always the guy that's like, yeah, let me get that. Let me own that. I'll do it. And even then it was like, I couldn't get enough time. Like, there was a prescribed time in the course and they wouldn't give me that much time with the sailors. It would be like 30% of that much time. So I'm trying to go through this material and have like a meaningful discussion on some of these topics, and it's, you just don't have time. So it became an administrative check in the box, and that's if it even happened at all. If you asked 100 sailors, 80 of them would probably tell you they never even went through a course. It was just like they just got frocked and moved on with life.
We've got a lot more of this episode to go, and we'll get right back to it after this short ad from our sponsor. We're going to give you a key number about the future National Coast Guard Museum, and that number is 5.
There are 5 themed storylines: lifesavers around the globe, enforcers on the seas, defenders of our nation, champions of commerce, and protectors of the environment.
The exhibits and galleries in those storylines will be showcased in a 5-story museum.
And here's our favorite 5. For as little as $5 a month, you can be a plank owner and support construction of the National Coast Guard Museum.
For details on how you can get involved, go to coastguardmuseum.org/out. That's coastguardmuseum.org/OUT. Yeah, on that topic of like advancements in the Navy, so you guys do selection panels, right?
So we do selection boards for E6s going up for E7, and then everything after that. So E7 to E8, E8 to E9, yeah.
How does that whole process work?
So that's a great question.
I'm asking you. I have no idea if that deals with the podcast or not. Just I'm curious about it.
A little. Yeah, a little. I do have an episode. It's about chief's package preparation, like a letter to the board. It's something that the sailor submits on their behalf, communicating any issues with their record, any like milestones they've hit that aren't in their record yet that they want the board to see, stuff like that. So I did a bunch of stuff on that and kind of how the board process works. But it's very secretive, for reasons that I still don't quite understand. And I'm trying to go sit aboard, during this shore duty that I'm on so that I can get that perspective. And you're signing a non-disclosure agreement when you go there. Like, it's that kind of level of, we don't want people to know these things. And it kind of baffles me as to why, they do release.
What if it's just a dartboard? Like, what if you walk in the room and it's legit a dartboard?
Well, I can't say it's not because I've never been.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, no one knows, right? Like, what if that's what it is? You walk in and it's a dartboard.
Yeah, there is enough formal guidance out there in the Navy's advancement manual and stuff like that where they explain the rough general process of how it works. And basically what they do is you have 2-person teams and they grade a package, right? And that package includes certain like excerpts from what we call our OMPF. It's essentially our service record electronically. And then a couple of other resources, the package that gets sent in and some other just administrative data. And they score that package based on grading criteria that we only know generally. They release what are called precepts and a board convening letter where they communicate a general, like, hey, this is what we're looking for. These are the metrics that you're being graded on, but it's very general, just like a paragraph description and like an area or like a subcategory of like the types of things we're evaluated on. But they grade the packages out. They call it racking and stacking. They get to a point where, based on the number of quotas to advance, they kind of give themselves like a plus or minus threshold, and then they lop off everything below that plus or minus threshold, and those ones are not going into what they call the tank. So in the tank, they brief the entire panel for that rating on each package, and the whole panel scores out those packages again. And based on those scores, they decide like who's selected and who's not, and then they forward recommendations up that are approved by the chief of naval personnel, and then theoretically that's where the list of selectees comes from.
And how's it viewed by everybody? Like, do you guys, I mean, is it viewed as...
It's not good. And when I say everybody, I mean the vast majority of E7 and like, or E6 and below view it negatively. And a lot of that is just fear of the unknown, stuff like that. But there are also some really public cases of corruption. Pretty recently, the E9 board got shut down because a couple of guys were colluding to select a guy based on it was their buddy, essentially. And then their E7 and above, I would say, the guys that I've talked to that have experience sitting the boards, they think it's a pretty fair process. It's hard, but they also can't communicate to me in detail why they think that. So I'm going to have to be there, I think, to really fully understand. But the way I understand it is they built in a lot of fail safes, essentially, to make sure that it's fair. So unless there's like more than one person trying to do something shady, it'd be pretty difficult, I think, to kind of like people talk about, oh, well, this guy got blackballed, and that's why he doesn't get promoted, or this guy just isn't popular in the career field, so that's why he didn't get promoted. And it's like the way that it's structured, from my understanding right now, from the outside looking in, I think it'd be very difficult to do that kind of thing, but there's also public cases of people getting caught doing that type of thing.
So yeah, like, crazy.
It's tough to know, being on the outside looking in. The struggle that I have with it, I think, is probably the same. I read your USNI article, and I think that I align with you on a lot of things where if you're going to do this, I almost think you should do both. I understand what they're trying to accomplish doing the selection boards, but I also think that at least maybe for a chief going for senior chief, because master chiefs, it depends on the career trajectory, but I still think if you're going to stay in rating and not be a command master chief, you should be taking an exam to demonstrate your level of knowledge and expertise, or doing something to demonstrate your knowledge and expertise. I think the Army does like a local board where they go in front of a panel of senior NCOs and answer questions. And I think that you could do something where it's like, we do something locally, maybe for those that are eligible, and send up the score or whatever, which that in and of itself could have its own problems, but something to measure a level of knowledge technically, which doesn't, for us, does not happen after you put on anchors.
Oh, really? So anything outside after E7s, no,
yep,
no service-wide anymore? No, yeah.
Correct. There's no service-wide measure of my technical level of knowledge after I put on anchors. There's my annual enlisted evaluations. I'm evaluated on technical expertise by a guy that's not in my rating.
Right.
Like, and that's specific to submarines because we're small. I imagine you guys would probably have to do it similarly, but it's like in the larger Navy, on like an aircraft carrier, they would, sure, they'd have a rater that's like a senior chief or master chief in their career field. But like for me, getting an enlisted evaluation, I'm not rated by a culinary specialist, which is what I do for a living. I'm rated by my command master chief.
Right.
And it's effectively just based on my ability to lead. And I'm also ranked against all the other senior chiefs. I'm not ranked against all the other culinary specialists.
Really? Just on the sub?
Yeah, so on the submarine, I'm ranked against all the other senior chiefs on the submarine. I'm not ranked against any other culinary specialists. They do issue rankings from, like, the squadron level. Those guys will rank all, like, the leading culinary specialists on the waterfront. And I can put that in my write-up as, like, hey, I'm pretty good at my job. But it doesn't it doesn't affect my evaluation at all. They could think I'm absolutely terrible at my actual primary duty, and my command master chief could think I'm the greatest leader ever and rank me number one, and that's my ranking.
Huh.
You know what I mean? It's all up to what they call a reporting senior, which is my commanding officer. So it's within the skin of that submarine. If my CO thinks I'm the greatest thing ever, then I'm the greatest thing ever on that enlisted evaluation. That is the primary document they use to select me for promotion. So the technical experts in my career field that are responsible for evaluating me could rank me dead last, and I can just leave that out of my eval, and it doesn't affect me at all.
You know what we did just now? We just proved how useful D-Guts podcast is. Because these are the kind of discussions you have on there, right? Like, pretty much every...
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's... You know, so if...
We do.
Yeah, I know it's very Navy-centric, but, I mean, a lot of the lessons taken from the sister service come back to the Coast Guard for sure. That was pretty good, man. A very knowledgeable senior chief in the Navy, no doubt about it. Very cool. Who's your coolest guest that you had?
So Paul Kingsbury was a cool one. That one was probably like the most publicized. I mean, because I got put in contact with him by a chief that's a listener. I'm not sure how she knew Paul, but he's a retired fleet master chief, which is one step down from the master chief petty officer in the Navy. I'm sure you guys have equivalents, but having him on was really cool. We had talked a bunch about a bunch of different things, and we finally synced up and got a podcast on, and it was perfect because we did it on the topic that I've spent a ton of bandwidth on, kind of the trust issues between junior enlisted and the chief's mess on the Navy side of the house. And I felt like I had talked to a bunch of people and they kept telling me, just do the episode where I talked about that topic. And I felt like I needed an unquestioned authority on all things chief's mess in the Navy. And people kept telling me that was me. And I'm like, I don't think it is, man. I need somebody that's been like a command master chief or higher that has like just unquestioned authority when they make statements on this topic. And so when I got to do that episode with Paul, that one was really good. I really enjoyed that. I'm kind of new-ish to the interview thing. I mean, I've done a bunch in the last 3 or 4 months, but I've been kind of previous to that, I was doing mostly just independent episodes.
Yeah, are you taking like audience questions from, you know, are people like sending stuff in, and that's kind of how you're guising them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Some of it's been just me. Like, so I do episodes that are numbered, and those are generally a topic or an interview. And that's just based on something somebody asks for or something that I realize I haven't done yet, or I'm just interested in talking about. And then a lot of it does come from feedback though. Like I'll get a question and I'll be like, oh, I should do an episode on that.
Reddit, right? I remember Reddit was what we talked about. Yeah. And I did look that up, Reddit's, man, by the way, Reddit's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And so Reddit is where a lot of the interviews have come from, which is really cool. A lot, especially the junior sailors that I've gotten to talk to. Which the type of feedback and just the level of intelligence and engagement that you get from those sailors, it was like, it blew my mind. Like I've had really, really great conversations, with junior sailors that I'm sure on Reddit, they're communicating via meme and like just laces certain parts of the community to express their frustrations. But when they get engaged in a conversation with somebody that they feel like has a platform to express their issues, it's like you get to have a really cool conversation with really intelligent sailors that are only interested in making things better. And they don't really hate chiefs. They hate some of the interactions and experiences that they've had. And they hate the way the system is set up. And they hate a bunch of things. And that's what we got to talk about. It was really, really productive. And then the spin the yarn things that I do, it's almost always based on an experience or conversation or something that happened that day, or maybe something I read. Like I'll scroll through social media and I've liked just about every single Navy thing on the planet on Facebook. So I'll an article or a post or something, will strike me. And that's those ones I just spin up the microphone, start talking off the top of my head, kind of work through a thought or whatever. But yeah, man, the interviews are really cool. That's what the majority of my bandwidth has been lately. And it's cool to talk to another human.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Instead of just being in my own bubble. And then
what do you think of Jeff Bayless?
I love that man. Yeah, man. Oh man. Like, so I saw his video, he reached out to me and sent it to me. And sometimes I get some weird stuff sent to me. And I kind of ignore it, but I got the video and I was like, ah, oh, geez, here we go. Like, and I listened to it and watched it and I was like, oh wow. Like, this is amazing. And just his experience and the things he went through could provide such incredible context. And the fact that he's willing to be super vulnerable and honest about how badly he screwed up and the lessons he learned from that in order to prevent anyone else from making those mistakes, man, it's like, he's making a huge impact. I really, really enjoyed that conversation. Me and him have since done another episode and are going to do, and like, he's going to be on my podcast all the time now. Like, we're talking quite a bit, and he's somebody that I will talk to quite frequently, I think, going forward.
Well, if your sub stories ever get declassified, we'll totally have you back on here. Could be a couple decades, man. Though. You might be like, well retired by then.
Yeah, I was going to say the coolest thing I've done was a special project submarine, and that stuff's going to be classified until we're old men. But yeah. It was very, very cool. Like, it was like some stuff out of the movies, and it was the coolest thing was the mission set was something that it was you knew every single day when you went to work you were making a difference. You know what I mean? And yeah. It was just like it's a very simple way to motivate people. It's like there was no question that we were not just like spinning our wheels or doing anything that was like busy work or anything. And everything we did every day we knew was making an impact. And it was that was a really cool feeling to be a part of that. And it'll be cool to watch the movie in 40 years.
do your ears pop all the time?
Yeah, it happens. There's definitely a lot of pressure changes depending on what we're doing. There's a lot of use of air and other things it's mostly air production and then just expenditures based on like pressurized air systems and other things on the submarine that, if they do, we call them water slugs. So it's like when they shoot a torpedo tube, but there's no torpedo in it. It's like you generally do it for training or maintenance. And it's like, that sucks a whole bunch of air out of the atmosphere really quick and then vents it all back in. And so, yeah, your ears will definitely be affected by something like that. And there's some other evolutions that we do that, the pressure changes pretty rapidly.
What's the closest movie to reality?
I use this analogy a lot, man. It's 95%.
Don't say The Office. If you say Periscope, The Office, I'm going to be sad.
No, it's
all right.
Down Periscope. Okay. It's 95% down Periscope, 5% like Hunt for Red October or something cool. Like,
hey, man, you got to live for that 5%, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. It's definitely... people, like when you talk to people that are outside of the community, they think it's like this super cool high speed thing, and it is, but it's the all the things you have to do to get to that super high speed cool 5%, 95% of it is down Periscope. It's just us being idiots and very comedic heavy, and just like it's really commiseration because it's a very, very difficult, high stress environment and all the time. And it's the ways that human beings deal with that type of stress. It's like vast majority of the time you're sitting there, everything's on fire and you're just looking at each other laughing. And it's like, that's how you deal with the stress. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to talk like in 40 years. I definitely want to hear the stories. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if we ever meet in person, I could probably tell you a little bit more.
We got to go behind some door, and I got to get like an upgrade to my clearance, and then we'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like that.
Well, yeah, so what's next on the podcast? Where are you taking D-Guts next?
Well, so we talked before we started recording. I got some health stuff going on right now that's going to likely affect the trajectory of my naval career, but with this, it's I was seriously considering retiring in a couple years anyway, just because of the impact that I've been able to make with this platform. And it's I am only doing it part time, right? I'm still active duty, have a full time job, have a family, so it's something that I only devote, you know, 10 hours a week to. But I want
to. You are way more committed to D-Cuts than we are to They Had to Go Out.
Oh man, yeah. It's gotten a lot easier with the interviews because I can just hop on and talk. Where I was preparing outlines, doing research for some of the other stuff I was doing, but I'm working right the second. I'm working on a lot of heritage episodes, which I think we talked about. I was doing like little history segments that you'll hear on the normal episodes, but now that I'm doing these really long form interviews, because the interviews can go 2 or 3 hours, I don't want to burn that with another 30 or 40 minutes of me talking about history and heritage. So, but there's definitely a strong appetite for that content. So I'm working on the outlines for some of those, just doing like a full episode where I do a deep dive on like a naval hero or some like event that happened. And then I'm working on a couple other things, but it's mostly just kind of business as usual. Long term, I want to get into YouTube and other like content generating things where I can provide more resources. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet. I know I'm definitely going to do some stuff on YouTube. And then beyond that, I'm not really sure. After I retire, I'd love to do like, start doing kind of what Jeff's doing, travel around and do talks, be involved in like initiation seasons all over the place, and whatever else I can do. Like if people want me to come in and do like some leadership development training or whatever, kind of do things like that. Talked about with some people roughly about like a legacy academy kind of locally to where I'm at, where we do stuff kind of outside of, we could be involved in like the stuff that happens during the initiation season for chiefs, but they already kind of have a construct for that here. And I'd like to do, there's a organization in San Diego called the Enlisted Leadership Development Foundation. I might've gotten that slightly wrong, but they're based out of San Diego.
I've heard of it before. I think you got it right.
Yeah. Yep. They're a nonprofit run by some retired CMCs and fleets and stuff that do a bunch of really cool leadership development training at no cost to the service member. So it'd be cool to do something like that here, like extend the platform to some like real life brick and mortar training. There's a destroyer museum locally to where we're at that they do a heritage academy on for the season right now. But outside of that, it's like, it seems like they struggle a little bit with funding and stuff and just like utilization during the rest of the year. So if I could add to that, that would be really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, man. But those are just all kind of ideas on whiteboard right now, because I gotta figure out where I'm going with my career, because pretty much all of those things besides like getting passively involved in YouTube is stuff that I can't really do while I'm on active duty. And
dude,
I
can't wait to see this passively involved in YouTube, whatever it winds up being.
Oh geez, yeah. So I'm working on
is it gonna be like dark, like always sees like your silhouette and you're just like, you got
no,
a voice
no,
change
no,
or
no,
something?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
So that's what, excuse me. So, I'm teaching myself how to use some, software to develop, like, I'll do like training and education type stuff where there's essentially like slides and pictures and stuff like that. But not like, I don't want it to be a PowerPoint presentation that moves. Like I want it to be a little more robust than that if I'm going to do it. When I retire, I'll 100% put my face on stuff. So I'll start recording the podcasts, like a video with my face, like you see people do with podcasts on YouTube, but I'll probably still not put my name on anything just cause I don't know. It's like a symbolic thing where I'm just like, this is not about me. So I don't feel the need to do that. You can just call me senior or D-Guts and that's fine.
Yeah. We could always you could do the Facebook, you know, where it does the facial recognition now, and it'll just put like Master Chief's helmet on you from the, I don't even remember the name of that dumb game, you know, Halo. You can get the Halo helmet on you and then just you say whatever you
get
want,
mask,
right?
Yeah.
Nobody sees anything.
Yeah. I'll just get a Guy Fawkes mask.
Yeah. There you go. Even better. Yeah. You went a totally different direction with that. I like it.
Yeah, no, I because I got, once I'm retired, there's a lot of like ethical conflicts that I would have with like putting my face on it or like turning it into any form of a business or like a nonprofit organization where there's money involved, because I have an ethical conflict with the fact that I'm being paid to be a senior enlisted leader in the Navy right now. So if I'm going to do stuff like this, while I understand it's completely above and beyond my duties, it's like, for me to like have a Patreon or do anything that's going to like profit me personally, it's like, I feel like I'm already getting paid to do it. So it's just like, I'm just being a senior chief, and it's, I have a big conflict with doing any of those things now. So it's kind of like, I have to retire to do a lot of expanding of the platform in the way that I think I need to go with it.
Cool. Well, hey, I can tell a sea story. I thought of one while we were talking just now. So with the name of your podcast, right? When I was stationed up in Marblehead, Ohio, which is where Commodore Perry flew the flag, right? Was in Lake Erie.
Yep.
So I got to witness the Battle of Lake Erie between like a fleet of tall ships, and it was
really
awesome, dude. I didn't think it would be that great, just, you know, because everything's a lot cooler on your phone and when it's digitized, so you think.
Yeah.
But I mean, these guys are firing black powder out of.
I was gonna say, like, did they have like simulated cannons?
Dude, it was unreal, man. If you ever get a chance to head up there and like go out on the water, and the cool thing is, I was working, so there was like, while I'm watching this Age of Sail battle go down, and they're both in like, you know, straight up lines of battle, dropping broadsides on each other, and the smoke's like filling the air.
Incredible.
And then there's a like a bass boat sinking to my right, and there's a you know, a party barge sinking in front of us. It was pretty awesome. It was definitely great event, man. So if anybody gets a chance to see the Battle of Lake Erie, I would totally head up there. I think they hold it right off Marblehead.
I'll definitely look into that, because I'm from Michigan. So
you're really close. Yeah.
If I head home, I could make a trip down there for that. That would be incredible to see.
Yeah, they put out like a commemorative buoy, I think, right off of, it's somewhere near like Marblehead, Kelly's Island, somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So tons of places to drink and party if you go to it too. So definitely a all around good trip if you ever make it.
Nice. I will definitely look into that.
Well, senior, you got any parting shots for us?
Thanks for having me. Number one, I mean, this is always fun to do when it's not my platform. It's always interesting. And then, for those that haven't heard it yet, we did an episode together on my platform where we talked about a lot of how the Coast Guard does things. And I think these types of interactions are super valuable as far as like just learning like how the other services do things and taking the lessons from that. Like, there's a lot of things that other services are doing that I feel like the Navy could benefit from tremendously. And it gives you like a test case where you're like, look, theory to practice right there. It works. Like, why are we not doing that? And yes, there's going to be some translation issues because we don't do the same thing the Army or the Coast Guard or the Marines do. But I think it's definitely awesome to have these types of conversations, learn about what all the other people do. And then just like with the leadership development and education stuff, feel free to utilize the platform. Obviously it's all free. And reach out to me if anybody has any questions, but definitely take the time to work on yourself. That's kind of been the thing that I've taken away from this experience more than anything else, is I'm an infinitely better leader than I ever was before I started this platform. And it's because it forces the function of me bettering myself through books and podcasts and audiobooks and conversations and interactions and research and whatever. So like, I strongly encourage anybody that's interested in this type of stuff to do those things, right? There's a ton of availability of resources for any junior military member to leverage, to develop as a leader. And even if you're not in a leadership position yet, it's going to make you a better service member at the end of the day. And almost all of it translates to the outside world. If that's the end state for you, is you're going to separate after whatever enlistment you're on right now. So highly recommend doing those things and just being proactive about it.
Right, and usually translates as a highly marketable skill, I think. I think a lot of Definitely. People will just pay you to lead and effectively manage other people.
yeah, for sure. There's definitely a big appetite for that out there right now.
You mentioned books. What me and Bayless talked about his reading list currently.
So I have a reading list every time I'm done talking to that guy.
Yeah, right. Always. What's on deck right now? What do you got? Because a lot of people are quarantined right now, right? Just hanging out in their house, unable to leave. So what do you got? Or what are your favorites? It could be either one.
Yeah, I was gonna say the one that I give away to people. I have a stack of them on my bookshelf in my office. Extreme Ownership.
You guys must get paid more than we do in the Coast Guard, man. Because you and Bayless both have this like bookshelf of just free texts all over the place.
I don't know if it's that, man. I just don't have any kids, and my fiance makes pretty good money.
And you're on a submarine where you can't spend it too much. I don't know. Yeah, if they have a ship store. Sorry. But, all right. Extreme Ownership.
Extreme Ownership. It's Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. They're retired Navy SEALs. They wrote a leadership book and you can look up, if you search Extreme Ownership on YouTube, Jocko gave a TED talk, like a TEDx talk, where he explains the whole premise of the concept and kind of how it was created. Really amazing talk. I've used it for leadership training in the Navy before. And, it'll give you a good idea of what you're getting into with the book, and he's got more books. Dichotomy of Leadership is another one I give away. Those two books, but especially Extreme Ownership, just formed the whole foundation for like how I think people should lead. There's certainly a couple of things that I have my own opinions on, but man, like the content in that book, it'll set up somebody to go forward and learn all the nuances of leadership and management in a way that they'll be successful. Like it's just a foundation building book for me. It's one I go back to all the time and I really, really enjoy. I'm always listening to audiobooks and podcasts. I like a lot of heritage stuff. For my cooks out there, if you're ever interested, there's one called The Messman Chronicles, that this guy did a ton of just amazing research on kind of like the history and heritage of officer stewards and commissary men and ship's cooks that led up to what we are now. And just incredible insight into kind of the origins of the career field and some of the things that happened. And you can learn a lot of really interesting things about Dory Miller in that book. But and I listen to a bunch of stuff that's just off the walls too, man.
Who's Dory Miller?
Dory Miller, so he's a hero of Pearl Harbor. He was the first African American to ever be awarded the Navy Cross for Valor in Combat.
There we go.
During the attacks on Pearl Harbor, he was a ship's cook. Back then, all African Americans could only be cooks. They're called stewards. It was basically all they were trusted to do. If you get into the Messman Chronicles, the theory was they used to recruit from the Philippines, and when they were losing the territory during World War II, I think, they started to recruit African Americans from the South because they thought they would do well in a servant role. And that's literally a quote from some old naval documents. That's the type of history, the segregation of the career field and stuff. And so Dory Miller was in that type of a role on the ship that he was on. And when the attack happened, he manned an anti-aircraft machine gun and shot down some Japanese planes and was like helped carry his mortally wounded commanding officer off the bridge to safety. So he was immediately recognized, and they were in the middle of a battle to kind of desegregate some of it and allow African Americans to do other jobs in the military. There's a big fight for that at the time, and then it developed into what we know as the civil rights movement. But they were in the midst of that fight, and then they got this hero out of the attack on Pearl Harbor, and that was kind of a tipping point for when the Navy ended up opening up recruiting of African Americans for all the other ratings in the Navy. So he was definitely a big deal in naval history, and he just happened to be a cook, so he's a big hero in my community. Somebody that, I got his poster on my wall.
Heck yeah,
he's the most most well-known, couple of ships named after him. Yeah, definitely a hero of mine for sure.
Solid senior. Hey, we appreciate you being on today, man. Senior Night. I encourage everybody to go out and check out Don't Give Up the Ship podcast. I think it's awesome. You know, luckily we've been able to talk a couple times. I've went back, listened to a ton of episodes. If you start with one, I'd totally start with the suck. I think it was great. It's a good intro to the rest. Yeah, so, man. And if, like Senior said, if anybody's got questions or anything on leadership in the military, I think, again, a lot of these lessons cross services, cross industries, cross all kinds of sectors. So if you got a question, put it out there. I think you found a good guy to help you answer it. And see you again.
Definitely.
Really appreciate it. Look forward to doing more with you in the future.
Yeah, man. My pleasure.
Cool. Semper Paratus. Hey, and stay healthy.
Definitely. I'm working on it.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Before we end this, we want to give a plug for some people and organizations that we believe in.
The Coast Guard Foundation supports the brave men and women of the Coast Guard when they need it the most, providing everything from financial aid to families in crisis to scholarships and playground equipment. As a nonprofit 501c3 charity, they count on our donations to deliver this support. Visit CoastGuardFoundation.org. That's CoastGuardFoundation.org to read about their programs and donate what you can to support those who guard our nation's coast.
Another one to check out is the Always Ready Collective, which delivers art by and for some daring fighters of the sea. Head over to Etsy, Facebook, or Instagram and search Always Ready Collective to check out their Coast Guard and Maritime Focused tattoo flash, pinups, and propaganda. You won't be disappointed. Anyone who gets one of their designs inked on their body will get featured on their feed and can be sent a care package on the house. Find a design you like, some blank canvas, and get it done. Thanks for taking the time to listen.
If you like what this podcast is about and what we delivered, look us up at theyhadtogooout.com or your favorite podcast platform. And like, comment, subscribe, and share so we can keep the momentum up and do bigger things going forward.
Look for a new episode every Sunday. Until then, fair winds and following seas.